tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today we kick off a brand new series titled Level Up, and I'm incredibly excited about this series. I think this is going to be a challenging series, but I'm convinced that God is going to do something great. Whether you know it or not, God has already done a miracle today. You didn't think about this, you didn't know this, but I want to tell you this miracle, and it's giving me hope that He's going to continue to do miracles and that this is going to be a series that is going to change our lives. Here's the miracle. This week, I went on Amazon, and I selected this t-shirt. And I selected this t-shirt in a size 2X, because that's the size that I wear. But as I selected the t-shirt, I decided to see what it would look like in other colors. And so I looked at the shirt. You can click on the little button. I clicked on the little button to see what the shirt would look like in other colors. And I did not realize that when you switch to the other colors, it resets the size bar. So then I purchased the shirt. And this week I got the shirt in the mail, and I was so excited. I set it up, and last night I set it on our ironing board, getting ready to get up to wear it today. And last night my wife says, why'd you get an extra large shirt? And I said, I didn't. I got a 2X shirt. And she said, no, it's extra large. I said, well, they made a mistake, because I know I selected 2X. And I went and I looked at the shirt, and it said extra large, and I got on the Amazon order, and sure enough, I had made the mistake. And so I tried it on last night, and it did not fit. This morning, though, I said, I really want to wear this shirt, so let me put it on. And for some reason, it fits. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, it is a miracle, and it gives me hope that God's going to do a lot of great stuff in our church. This is the thing, though. Whether or not this is your church, or you're new to the church scene, or if you grew up in church, here's a challenge for you before we roll into things. The challenge is do not be hit or miss with this series. This series, Level Up, is a series that I want to encourage you to be at for the next 4 weeks. It's 4 weeks long, and I want to ask you, please be here for all 4 weeks, okay? Unless a hurricane comes and we cancel services next week, everyone that is here today, I challenge you to come back next week and then for the next 4 weeks. This is a series that builds upon the previous week. And so if you hear this week, it's not complete, because To Be Continued comes next week. So you got to make sure that you're here for the next 4 weeks. And this is a series that has potential to change our lives, not just individually, but also the lives of our church. This is a series that I know is going to be challenging for us, and the reason I know it's going to be challenging for us is because we've been working on this stuff for months. For the entire summer, we've been working on this, and one of the first things that was said to me was that in order to get our church where we need to go, I have to change. And all this summer, I've been working and challenging myself and trying to grow as an individual and as a pastor so that I could lead us to where we need to go, and change is hard. Change is difficult. I don't love to change. I love to be comfortable. But I knew that in order for us to get where we needed to go, I had to do something different, and I had to change myself. And now, I'm convinced that because I've gone through some changes and through work, I'm convinced that I can lead us, and that all of us can go through the process of change. And if anything, it will be like the great documentary, Rocky IV. We're at the end of this classic bit of history from our country. The boxer Rocky defeats the Russian, and he says to the crowd,
if I can change, and you can change, then everybody can change.
And the whole crowd applauds, and the Cold War ended at that moment in Rocky IV. But that is the challenge with this series. The challenge for this series is for us to change, for me to change, for you to change, for everybody to change. In order to get there, I want to show you our theme verse, a text for today. It comes from Scripture, and it is found in Matthew. The verses that we're going to look at are a parable that Jesus told. When Jesus was on this earth, whenever he communicated to the crowds, he would tell a parable. A parable is simply a story with a point. This parable is interesting because Jesus tells it two different times. And each time he tells it, it's a little bit different. He tweaks it based off the audience. And we know that this is something that teachers in Jesus' day did often because they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have Instagram, they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have news, they didn't have a way to record things. So every way that they learned was audible. And so oftentimes teachers would give the same sermon or the same message to a different crowd, but because the crowd was different, they would kind of tweak it. And the parable that we're going to hear today, if you ever read through the New Testament and read through the life of Jesus, you'll read this twice, and it's a little different each time. The one that we're going to read, though, is in Matthew. Matthew is interesting to us because Matthew is one of Jesus' 12 followers. Specifically, Matthew was a tax collector. What's fascinating about that is that tax collectors were considered enemies of the state. The Jewish people, which Jesus was Jewish, they did not like tax collectors. You were considered a traitor. And yet Jesus goes up to Matthew, a tax collector, and says, "You, the traitor, come follow me." It was a little bit scandalous. And Matthew leaves his job, comes to follow Jesus, follows him for 3 years. But that's not what changed Matthew's life. What changed Matthew's life is that the guy, Jesus, that he was following, said he was going to die and then rise again. And Jesus died, and 3 days later, when he rose again, he spent time for 40 days with his closest followers, and Matthew was one of those guys. And so Matthew wrote about the accounts, and he wrote about the stories that he heard. He wrote it down, and we have it in a book that we call Matthew. It kicks off, it starts off the New Testament portion of Scripture, and we're going to read Matthew's version, Matthew's take on this parable. And so at Next Level, we want to honor the text. We believe that you get something more out of it when you show some honor to it, and I want us to get a lot out of the text today. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud a portion of our text. It's Matthew 25, 23. It says, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you right now, and we just ask that you would go before us on this journey over the next 4 weeks, that God, you would go before us and that you would pave the way. And we ask, God, that you would help our hearts to be sensitive to the change that you want every single one of us to take. God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts as individuals. And God, I know that whenever you speak, it's incredibly difficult. So God, would you give us the courage to obey you, even though it's going to be hard? And I thank you for what you're going to do in advance. And God, I just ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So just with a show of hands, who here likes video games? If you like video games, just put your hand up, okay? That's great. I like video games. I like playing video games. I like playing video games with my kids. Sometimes I play video games without my kids. I like playing video games. Now, if you're younger than 30, you may not understand the progression and the history and how far we've come with video games. In the 80s, in order to play a video game, in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, in order to play a video game, you had to leave your house and go to a location called an arcade. Now, here's the thing that was interesting about arcades. Arcades were just rooms filled with video games. But today, game systems are pretty small. But arcades back then, they're huge. Like, they're taller than you. They're big. They weigh as much as a tank. Like, they're huge, massive machines. And back then, when you would play an arcade game, they were incredibly difficult. Today, games are pretty fun. They're difficult, but they make it so that you can beat them. Back in arcade games, you could not beat them. They were impossible. And the reason they were impossible is in order to play an arcade game, you had to bring quarters and you had to put money into the machine. And so they didn't want it to be easy. They wanted it to be hard, so you would spend a lot of money. Well, then things continued to evolve and we got to where we are at video games today, where we have video games on our phones crying out loud. It's pretty cool. Well, I want to show you some images of some classic video games. And if you know what this is, just shout it out, okay? So I want to show you. Here's an image. Classic video game. Miss Pac-Man, good catch. Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, what's the difference? Miss Pac-Man has a bow. What's the difference? Now, I absolutely love Miss Pac-Man. It is my favorite arcade game. My wife's dad owned an arcade in Virginia Beach, and when it shut down, I asked for and ended up getting Miss Pac-Man. It's in our house. We have the old school arcade game in our house. It weighs a ton. We have it on free play, so you don't have to put quarters in it. And so I've played Miss Pac-Man a lot, and I've gotten really good at Miss Pac-Man. In fact, I got so good at Miss Pac-Man, if you've ever played it, there's ghosts that chase you, they're multicolors, and you try to clear the board, and there's these power pellets on the board. And if you eat a power pellet, it turns the ghosts into blue, and if they're blue, you can eat them, right? You guys familiar with that? Some of you may have seen this in a museum. Like, it's old school video game. I got so far in Miss Pac-Man that when I would eat the power pellets, it would not change the ghosts to blue. And I beat that board, and on the next board, the ghosts were even faster, and the power pellets didn't change them, and it was so difficult, I ended up dying. And I said, I've got to be near the end of this game. I want to see how this game ends. I want to see what happens when you finally, like, win Miss Pac-Man. And so I Googled, how do you beat Miss Pac-Man? And this is the image that came up. This is what is called a kill screen. Back in the day, video games didn't end. They ran out of memory. There is no ending to Miss Pac-Man. You just keep playing it, and then eventually the game runs out of memory, and it just freezes, and that's how it ends. How anticlimactic is that? It actually demotivated me from playing, because I was like, well, what am I playing for? Like, I don't kill screen. That's horrible. I want to show you another image. Shout it out if you know what this is. Pong. So video games went from the arcade to the Atari, then brought them to where you could play games at home. And the first best-selling video game was Pong. It was very much like ping pong, except with the joystick, and a very simplistic game, and you young kids would not have fun with this game at all. But for us, we didn't know better, and this was an awesome game. We played hours and hours of Pong. I want to show you another game, one of my absolute favorites. Super Mario, yes, for the Nintendo. Super Mario, Nintendo was a game changer. Super Mario was an amazing game. I spent hours upon hours beating and learning how to beat Mario. Great classic game. All right, I want to show you one more. It's a lot quieter in here for this video game. So here's the thing. If you are like 35 or older, you're like, I'm down with the Mario, and I know Miss Pac-Man, but what in the world is that? But if you notice, the people who yelled out, they were all under the age of 20, and they were like, Fortnite. I threw them a bone. Fortnite is the game that kids, teenagers, and younger are playing like crazy. And I want to tell you the influence of Fortnite. Look for this. If you ever walk around teenagers or elementary school kids, just randomly when they're standing, they will just break out and start going, and you're like, what is wrong with you? There's no music playing. Like, do I need to call an ambulance? Like, are you spasming? What is happening? That is a dance from Fortnite. And the characters in Fortnite, when you select your character, they start breaking out into these dances. And it is inspiring kids left and right. And so I've educated you now. When you see kids, you don't have to call 911. They're dancing. It's a Fortnite dance. All right, so here's the thing. Today we are kicking off a brand new series entitled Level Up, and Level Up has a video game theme because it's an idea that comes from video games. And so when I was working on the sermon, I wanted to look up what is the definition of Level Up, because not everyone in here plays video games, not everyone here likes video games, so when you hear the term Level Up, what does that mean? Well, according to the dictionary, Level Up means to progress to the, what's those next two words? I couldn't have planned that. I mean, that blew me away that was in the definition of Level Up, to progress to the next level of player character stats and abilities, often by acquiring experiencing points. Example, I leveled up after defeating the dragon. In the video game world, in order to go to the next level, you must level up. Leveling up means that you get through a challenge, that you beat a challenge, that you accomplish something, you get enough points, you get enough experience points, you get a high enough score, you get far enough in the level that you get some advancement. You become better, and then you advance to the next level, and now you're stronger and better and able to take on the next challenge. It is a great idea in video games, but I think it's also a great idea in life. That in order to get to the next level where God wants you to go, you must level up. But in order to level up, you've got to go through a challenge. You don't get to the next level unless you defeat the dragon. You defeat the dragon, then you level up and you go to the next level. It's true in our marriages. It's true if you're a parent. It's true for parenting. It's true at our jobs. You are not called to just stay the same. You are called to grow. And here's something that is so important. If you are not growing, you are dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing in your finances, they're dying. If you're not growing in your intellect, it's dying. If you're not growing in your fitness, it's dying. If you're not growing in your spiritual life, it's dying. If you're not growing, you are dying. And so I want to introduce to you a phrase that I would love for you to write down. If you want to take a picture of it, you can. But this is a phrase that is really important for us in our growth in order for us to level up. Here's the phrase. Living things grow. Growing things change. Healthy things change for the better. Now, would you just humor me and would you just say this out loud? I want us to chant this together, okay? Here we go. Living things grow. Growing things change. Healthy things change for the better. That was good, but I believe in you. I believe you have even more. Chant it like you really mean it. Here we go. Living things grow. Growing things change. Healthy things change for the better. Now, this statement is so important for us because if you're alive, you are growing. Because if you're not growing, you're dead. So if you're alive, just by being alive, you're growing. Growing things change. Here's the part that's incredibly important. Healthy things change for the better. If you're not dead, you're growing. You're growing in a direction. You are either becoming better or you're becoming worse. In life, as long as you have breath in your lungs, there is no holding pattern. And in our lives, we love to get to a place and get comfortable and just coast. But when you start coasting, you start dying. You don't naturally get better unless you put some time in, some effort in. So living things grow. If you're alive, you're growing. Growing things change. You can tell that you're alive because something's changing in your life. But here's the key to this. Healthy things change for the better. Everything that is alive changes, but not everything that is alive changes for the better. Mold. Mold grows. Mold gets bigger. Mold's not healthy. Everything that is not dead, everything that's not dead, grows. And growing things change, but healthy things change for the better. Think about this with your finances. In your finances, I know finances can be tough, but your finances, they're either growing or they're dying. They're starting to deplete. And growing things change. But listen, how can you tell if you're making wise choices with your finances? If your finances are changing for the better. With your health, you can apply this to your health. If you're alive, your health is either becoming better or worse until you're dead. Why? Because living things grow. Growing things change. Here's the key. Are the changes that we're making with our health, are they healthy changes that are helping improve us for the better? Think about it. For those of us that are married, think about your marriage. Your marriage is a living thing. Two people alive. Is your marriage growing? Yes. But is it growing together or are you growing apart? Living things grow. Growing things change. But healthy things change for the better. And this is so crucial for growth, and this ends up being our big idea for the day. And if you're taking notes, feel free to write this down. Our big idea is simply this. If there is no challenge, there is no change. How can you tell if you are making changes for the better or if you're making changes for the worse? Is there a challenge involved? If there's no challenge, you'll still change. It just won't be for the better. The way that we overcome obstacles is we embrace the challenges in our life and we push through them. If there is no challenge, if it's not difficult, if it's easy, if we're just coasting, we don't change for the better. We change for the worse. Because if there is no challenge, there is no change. Why? Because living things grow, growing things change, and healthy things change for the better. Now, if you're here today and you are a Christian, this is incredibly important for you. Because when it comes to faith, there is no holding pattern. You don't just ask Jesus into your life and then just stay the same. You are either growing closer to God or you're growing farther away. There is no holding pattern. And the difficult thing is God doesn't move. God doesn't change whether or not you love him or not. God stays the same. But we move away from him based off if we're healthy or not. And we can always turn around and come back to him. But if you're not feeling close to God, it's not because God has left you or God has moved away from you. It's because there is something unhealthy in your life that has changed you in the opposite direction. I want to show you why this is so important in our text. Like I said earlier, our text is a parable. And we're going to start at the very beginning of it. And I want to break it down for you. In Matthew 25, 14 through 18, Jesus says, again. Now he says again because this parable is coming in a series of parables. So he's already told a couple parables that are making the same kind of point. He says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the one who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So what's happening here? I want to stop there just for a second. In the parable, Jesus says there is a guy. He is probably a king. He is someone that has great wealth. He has people underneath his authority. And he decides to go on a journey. And so he leaves them. And while he's gone, he takes his own money and he says, here, I'm going to entrust you with some of my money. And he gives one guy 5 bags of gold and he says, this is mine, I entrust it to you. He gives another guy 2 bags of gold and he says, this is mine, I entrust it to you. He gives a third guy 1 bag of gold. He says, this is mine, I entrust it to you. The guy with 5 went out and invested what Jesus gave him, or what the owner in this story, the king, gave him. He invested it and he found 5 more. He made 5 more bags of gold. The guy with 2 bags of gold invested it and made 2 more. So he had 4. But the guy with one decided to bury it. Now, if Tex had like a theme music, this is where like the plot twist would happen. This is where, like, when you get to the third guy, you're tracking with guy number 1, you're tracking with guy number 2. When it gets to guy number 3, you would hear, that's when Pac-Man dies at the end of the game. That's my impersonation of that. That's the theme music that would come on this. That, like, wait a second, plot twist. Like, I didn't see this coming. So everyone was given money, but the one guy invested and he doubled it. The second guy invested, he doubled it. The third guy buried it. He buried it in the ground. Let's keep going in the story, see what Jesus says. He says, after a long time, now I want to stop there just for a second. After a long time. This is important because this is implying that these guys didn't have a short deadline. It wasn't like they had a week to get this work done. It wasn't like they had a month. They may not have even had a year. They had a long time. And having a long time is actually detrimental to our growth. Because when we think we have a long time, we don't hear a deadline and we don't push ourselves to the potential that's inside of us. The reason is because every single one of us, we overestimate what we can do in one day and we underestimate what we can do in a year. This is just how we work. When we think about like a year, we think, oh, I'll get to it at some point. I'll get to those bills. I'll get to my fitness. I'll get to doing that. I have all the time in the world to make those changes. But then when it comes to actually make a change, we say things, we convince ourselves, I'm going to change. I'm going to be a new person in one day. We make these unrealistic changes and think that it's going to impact us. I don't know about you, but I do this often. If I eat healthy for one day, I expect the scale to go down by 15 pounds. I did it. I survived 24 hours. We overestimate what we can do in a day. Don't we put off work assignments till the last minute because we say, oh, it'll just take me a couple hours. I can get that done. So we waste time. We put it off to the last minute, and then we live in stress because it takes us longer to get it done than if we would have just planned accordingly. We all do this. We overestimate what we can do in a day, and we underestimate what we can do in a year. And that's one of the most difficult things about life. Because in your life, you think you have forever. You think that you have years to make life change. And so we say to ourselves, oh yeah, next New Year's Eve, I'll make that change. Oh, when I get to 40, I'll make that change. When I get to 50, I'll make that change. When we have kids, we'll make that change. Once I get married, I'll make that change. And we think that we're going to change in a day. We overestimate what we can do in a day, but we underestimate what we could do in a year. What would happen if you were consistent with life change over a long period of time? Your life would be radically changed. Life change is not about instant moments where you just miraculously are someone new. Life change is about being consistent with what you should do. And over a long period of time, you see massive growth. If you want to become a millionaire, potential is every one of us in the room could become a millionaire if we budgeted our money and we saved our money over a long period of time. The reason why we're not millionaires is because we spend our money faster than we get it. It's true. Because we overestimate what we can do in a day, and we underestimate what we can do in a year. Life change is hard, but life change is about consistent choices that you make every day. You choose to do the right thing every day, and you look back over a year, and you say, oh my gosh, I can't believe how far I've come. But it comes after after a long time. So Jesus says in the parable, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So after a long time, the master comes back, and the guy that had 5 bags comes to him and says, look what I've done. I doubled your investment. I brought it back to you, and now I have 10. And the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. If this was a video game, this is what the final screen would look like for this verse. Thank you, Mario. Now, if you're not laughing, if you're not understanding, it is because either you've forgotten how hard Mario 1 is, or you didn't grow up in a childhood like mine where you spent days trying to get to this final castle. You spent hours. Back then, there weren't like codes in Mario. If you wanted to beat Mario, this is what we did. We would put it on pause, turn off the TV, come back the next morning, and play Mario again. The Nintendo would be hot like fire. It was running all night long. And this isn't like, if you've never beat it, this isn't exciting. This just kind of seems, eh. But if you've ever beat it, you live for this. And I never even read the rest of the text. I didn't even care about your quest is over, present you a new quest, push button B. I ain't pushing B. Thank you, Mario. I found the princess. I'm done. I put in the hard work. I got to the final level. This is what I live for. Well done. Jesus continues to go in the story. He says, the man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What's interesting to me about this is that in this parable, there's no comparison between the first 2 guys. Jesus doesn't say to the second guy, hey, you did a pretty good job, but did you see what Joe did? Joe got me 10. There's no comparison at all. He literally says the same thing. The one that ended up with 10, he says, congratulations, you did it. Good job, my faithful servant. To the one that brings 4, he's like, yes, you did it. Congratulations, well done, my good and faithful servant. There's no comparison. And it's kind of like this. If you've ever played a difficult video game like Super Mario Brothers, if you get to the very end, if you get to World 8-4, and you go to Bowser's castle and you try to beat Bowser. If you beat Bowser and you have 10 lives left, that's great. But if someone else gets to Bowser's castle and beats him with only 1 life left, guess what? They see the same title screen. It doesn't matter. And at that point, you don't care if someone got there easier than you, if someone put there more work. You're just excited that you beat it. You did what you were supposed to do. Because it is not about equal gifts. It is about equal sacrifice. And Jesus looks at this guy and says, man, I'm so proud of you. You did it. You took the little that I gave you and you put hard work to it. You overcame the challenges. Well done. Then he gets to the third guy. It says, then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See? Here's what belongs to you. The third guy was only given 1 little task. But because of fear, he decided to bury it in the ground. And he comes to the master with a great excuse. He's like, surely I won't get in trouble for this. Surely he'll be proud of me. Like, if I just tell him what my excuse is, if I just tell him what my limitations are, if I just tell him how hard it was, then surely he'll understand. This guy was afraid of a challenge. And isn't it true with us? I don't know. I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, seeing a challenge in front of me is scary. And often when I get a challenge, what I want to do is I want to be this guy. And I want to say, ooh, that's hard. Let me just bury that in the ground and ignore it. And hopefully the challenge will go away. But if there's no challenge in your life, there is no change. If you don't face the challenge, if you don't overcome the challenge, you're not going to change. And this is so important for every single one of us in the room. Because so often when there's a challenge in our life, we bring God our excuses. So often someone comes to me for advice. and they say, hey, I need some help with this. And I give them the advice. And you know what they say afterwards? I don't do that. That's not what I do. I didn't ask you what you did. You came to me for advice. You want to improve the situation? Here's what you do. But we all do this. We lead with our no. We tell God, I'm not going to, that's not how I'm wired. I don't do that. That's difficult, God. That's scary, God. I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to bury my problems in the ground and I hope that they go away. And so often someone will come to me and they'll say, hey, I'm struggling financially. And I say, hey, here's a book. It's by Dave Ramsey. It is going to help you. If you follow this plan, it will help you get on a budget. It will help you get out of debt. Just read this book and follow this plan. And you know what they say? I don't read books. I don't know what to do. You're leading with what you don't do. Maybe the reason you're in the problem that you're in is because you don't read books. I see this in relationships all the time. People don't come and ask for advice when the relationship is just okay. They wait until the relationship is falling apart. And then they come and they say, hey, help me. Save my marriage. And I'll say, hey, here's my advice. And they say, oh, no, we don't do that. Hey, you need to go see a professional Christian counselor to help you out. I don't do counseling. That's not, counseling's only for crazy people. And then I say, well, you know what, I go to counseling. And they say, oh, well, you're not crazy, it's everyone else. But why don't we go to counseling? It's because we're afraid. We're afraid what other people will think. We're afraid what we'll think about ourselves. If we admit that we have a weakness, that someone else might need to help us, we think maybe we're not good enough. But guess what? What we're doing is we're running away from the challenge. And if there's no challenge, there is no change. Don't say no to the challenge that God has placed in front of you. He wants you to get better. He wants you to improve. He wants you to get to the preferred destination. But in order to do it, you can't lead with your no. You want to fix your debt? You're going to need to get onto a budget. I don't do budgets. You want to lose weight? You got to exercise and eat right. I don't eat right. Let me tell you, this has been my struggle. For years, I've thought that I could out-exercise a bad diet. And you can't. You can't, because I always overestimate what I can do in a day. Oh, I ate really bad. I'll just go out and run the next morning. I'll burn it off. It doesn't work that way. And so, I've had to change. And I've had to be disciplined. And it's hard. I went to 2 birthday parties yesterday. Watched everyone else eat cake. But if there's no challenge, there's no change. And I want to change because living things grow. Growing things change, but healthy things, guess what they do? They change in the right direction. I see this with Christians all the time. And if you're a Christian, I want to speak to you just for a second. Because Christians so often lead with their no. And we think that Christianity is just about signing up to follow Jesus. And we say, yeah, I said a prayer at one point. I made a decision to follow Jesus. I'm a Christian. But then we stop growing. And when it comes to spiritual matters, God places a challenge in front of us, and we lead with our no. And I hear this all the time with well-meaning Christians. If you want to grow, you got to spend time reading the Bible for yourself.
I don't read the Bible.
Well, you got to. That's how you grow. You want to hear from God? Read the Bible. The Bible's boring. I don't really like it. Well, that's a challenge in front of you. Find out a way to make it exciting and to come alive. I hear this all the time. People make decisions to follow Jesus, and we say, that's awesome. We celebrate with you. But your first step after you become a Christian is to go public with that and get baptized.
I don't do baptism. I'm not going to get up on the stage. That's too scary.
That's a challenge in front of you. And where there's no challenge, there's no change. But if you run away from the challenge, you won't be changed. I hear this a lot with Christians and their money. We talk about that in order to fund the church, it comes from the people that belong to the church. It comes from Christians. And so we have to give some money. And oftentimes Christians just say, nope, not going to give my money. I don't do that. I'll take the coffee that someone else paid for and I'll drink that. I'll drink 16 cups of that. But don't ask me to actually give some of my own. I don't do that. Listen, that's a challenge for some of us, and it's scary. But if there's no challenge, there's no change. And some of us have stopped growing because we've said to God, no, I'm not going to do that. So in this series, Level Up, we have some challenges for us, because the whole idea of this Level Up series is that we would grow together. And here are some practical challenges. In your seat, Scott mentioned this earlier, we have a prayer guide. And right away, when we started talking about a prayer guide, some of you led with your no. I don't do prayer guides. Nope. I'll come to church every week, but I ain't reading nothing. This is simple and easy. This is probably less than 5 minutes a day. And I would just challenge all of us. I want our whole church to go through this for the next 22 days. All of us. Whether you have another devotion, whether you go deep and you've memorized the whole Bible, or you've never read anything, I want all of us doing this challenge for 22 days. Don't lead with your no, lead with your yes. God, okay, I want to hear from you. I want to do this. This little card that's in your seat, it's in the prayer guide. At the very bottom of it says, we'll be holding prayer gatherings September 15th, 22nd, and 29th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Some of you hear that, you know what you say? I don't do prayer gatherings. That ain't what I do. I would say if there's a point in this series where you feel resistance, that is the thing that God is challenging you to do. And I know prayer gatherings can be scary. I know you have other things that you'd rather do. I'm just telling you, though, what would happen if we got together before God and we said, God, speak to us. We want to hear from you. And then we did whatever he told us to do. And so for the next 3 Saturdays, we're going to be gathering. And if you already have plans, if you can't make it, there's no pressure. We're not going to judge you or throw shade at you. But I'm just telling you, if you saw that there was a prayer gathering and your first response was, I don't do that, that's the challenge for you. Don't be defined by what you won't do. Don't be defined by what you won't do. That's a fixed mindset. And you won't grow. You won't grow if you don't embrace the challenge that's in front of you. Please don't wait for your world to fall apart before you run and say, I'm willing to make all these changes. Let's make changes, healthy changes, together. That's why our big idea is if there's no challenge, there is no change. So this series, for the next 4 weeks, it involves a challenge for every one of us individually. And the challenge for every one of us individually is to get alone with God and to say, God, what is the challenge for me? What is it that you want me to do? And then listen to whatever God says, and then do it. So there's an individual challenge for all of us. And I can't force you to. I won't judge you if you don't do it. There's no like pressure. I'm just inviting you to be a part of this. Because if we change together, we get to experience something amazing. It's victory on the other side. It's overcoming some of our struggles. It's going further than we ever thought we could go. But I can't force you to do it. I can just invite you to do it. So there's an individual challenge. But there's also a corporate challenge. That is a challenge for us together. And the corporate challenge comes from something physical that is going to challenge us as a church. We have some challenges in the space that we're currently in. This building is a building that we are very thankful for because we prayed and we asked God, God, would you give us a free church building? And he answered it and he gave us this building, fully furnished with all the chairs and all the light. It was all given to us. It was a huge answer to prayer. We've been in this building for 4 years, and over the last 4 years, because we keep lifting up Jesus and making a big deal about Jesus, he keeps bringing people in, and we are now at a place where we are out of space in the space that God gave us. For our largest service, we have a kids' small group that meets in the hallway. Because the large group room for kids, it's too loud and it's too crowded. And so this brilliant small group leader said, hey, let's move into the hallway. And so every week, he leads them in the hallway. This past Christmas, we had our largest attendance to date for any service, but especially for a holiday service. And for the biggest service, this room holds 200 people. And for the biggest service, there were 230 people in here. I have no idea how that happened. People were sitting on laps. Like, I have no idea what was happening. But there was more people in here than what we can actually fit. It had to have broken a fire code. During that service, though, our parkers were stressed out. And they came to me afterwards and they said, hey, it was horrible. We had at least 50 people we had to turn away because there was no space for them. So for us as a church, we have a challenge. We're in a building that is too small for the people that God's bringing here. But there's another challenge with this. We're not just in a too small of a building. We're in a building that's fallen apart. This is a really old building. And it constantly, when something breaks, it doesn't just cost us a few bucks. It costs thousands of bucks. And so we're spending thousands of dollars on a building that is falling apart and is too small. So the challenge for us as a church, the corporate challenge, is that we would get together and that we would prayerfully be able to raise enough money to build a new building in the back for us to meet the needs of what God's bringing here. And specifically, we want to build a 500-seat, we feel like God's leading us to build a 500-seat auditorium. It's going to go in the back, out in that grassy area. And it's going to cost us, because construction is expensive, $1.6 million in order to do it. And right away, some of you are saying, oh, I don't do building campaigns. That ain't what I do. Okay, that's fine. There's no pressure. There's no pressure at all. If this isn't your church and you don't see the needs and you don't want to help out, then help us help you find the church where you can get plugged in and you can help do whatever God is calling them to do. But if this is your church, this is the challenge for us as a church. And it is a challenge and it's hard. And it scares me to death. But where there's no challenge, there's no change. So together, I'm convinced that we can do this. So here's the win for today. The win is simply this. Pray. God, what is the challenging step you want me to take to level up? That's the challenge. Some of you, I don't do today's win. I ain't going to do that. Okay, that's fine. But what if all of us, this is the challenge for level up, it's to get alone with God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And for some of us, it's scary because we've never heard from God. And some of us have never even asked God to speak. And for others of us, it's scary because we're afraid of what he's going to say. But we got to trust that God is good, and if he speaks, it's for our own good. So what would happen if every person that calls Next Level their church says, God, what is the challenging step you want me to take? And over the next 4 weeks, if you do this and you get alone with God and God comes to you and says, you know what your next step is? Your next step is to volunteer. We're not going to be upset with that. We're going to say, that's awesome because you listened to God and you did what he said. And if you don't give a dime to help us get to the building, we're not mad at you. God didn't tell you to do that. And if your next step is to get baptized and you've been so afraid, you've made a decision to go follow Jesus, but you're too scared to get baptized, if you get alone with God and God says, hey, it's time for you to go public, we're going to celebrate that. That's amazing. I'm not here to tell you what your next step is. I'm here to encourage you to get alone with God. Ask him, God, what is the challenging next step you want me to take? Listen to what he says. We pray with me, God. We come before you right now. And God, challenges are just difficult. They're scary for us. And so often we want to take the challenges that you present to us and we want to bury them in the ground. We want to ignore them. We want to pretend that they're not there. But we ask, God, in Jesus' name, that you would give us supernatural courage to take steps in the right direction. Would you help us to do what you've asked us to do? God, we just ask that you motivate and inspire us to get alone with you. And we ask that you would speak. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.